and welcome to this week's edition of The Conversation. This edition is called The Ultimate Wrestler. And for such a massive topic, I've come and got the dream team, and I've only gone and got the dream team. That's right. If I could pick a team to do a podcast with, it wouldn't be any of these fuckers. But across the DSJMP and Trending Topics families, I couldn't pick a five better guys. So firstly, and least, he's named himself after the Beast. Even though he don't exist, shut up, it's Devil Vamp.
Hey, Ann, how are you, man?
I'm good, mate, you?
Good. Thanks for the intro. That's a nice intro, mate.
I do, mate, cheers. Next, he may have ate all the pies, but he brings fire to my thighs. It's the Mop Jockey.
Howdy-ho!
You good?
Yes, sir, how are you?
Very well, thank you, very well. Right, next up, you can find him licking windows on your local bus, but we've pulled him away from that to be with us. It's Wayne is an Odiop. How are you,
Yo,
Wayne?
I'm good. How are you? I should have said something else. Everyone's asking how you are. I don't really care, so.
The piles have gone, and I'm
No, we don't care. We're just being polite.
Exactly. Right, next up, we have a Canadian lout who says, ew in a bill. It's the owner of the Trending Topics Network. It's the Mountie.
That's not how nice, man. You should be, no. We don't say ew in a boot. I'll say A.
Bullshit.
I'm guilty of saying A, but I don't say ew in a boot.
Ew in a boot, in a boot.
Okay, all right. I apologize. Not. And last but no means least, another guy likes to eat, but a chicken bone up the arse is a real treat. It's Heavy Set. How are you?
You got your note cards mixed up. You're reading partially the one for FTW.
I know.
Well, then why'd you do that?
I wanted to integrate yourself into it as well.
No, I'm not like that fucker.
Okay. I hope you're well anyway. But anyway, that's the cast for this week's topic. But this show wouldn't be anything without the contributors this week. Because over the last few weeks, I've been asking the finest wrestling minds a questionnaire on wrestling. And we're going to discuss these at length today to find which attribute is the best suited for each wrestler. And ultimately, who is the ultimate wrestler? I want to personally thank all the contributors. We had over 40 people. So thank you, each and everyone. I'm not going to read them all out because it'll take forever.
Amazing. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it was just really, really good. I was blown away by it. So thank you all very much. So that's the arse licking out of the way anyway. So let's get this bad boy on the road and let's let the conversation begin. So firstly, I've been asking, what is the best wrestling music of all time? So Heavyset, what makes a great wrestling theme?
I think for me, it's something that you don't have to be watching wrestling to listen to and just get absolutely pumped up for it. I mean, it kind of extends outside of just wrestling.
No, I completely agree. Mountie?
You gotta have 80s rock cheese with a fucking nice bass line. Like, I am a real American.
Good choice.
Is that the one that you chose yourself?
It's the best theme of all time. Now, even though I am nowhere near America, I still fucking blast it in my car everywhere I go.
Mountie, do you like the one that's they did the acoustic version of that? Do you like that one better, or do you like the original one?
No, it's got to be the WWE version.
Okay. All right.
So, Van, what makes a brilliant musical theme for you?
Before the 90s, like the late 90s, I would say anything that like suits that character, anything that as soon as you listen, as soon as you hear the music, you think of that character. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, all of the Diesel, all of those guys were great. Razor Ramon, they were all great examples of cheesy, like Mountie said, cheesy music, but it fit those characters so well. They're ingrained in your brain, and it's not from overplay because back then you could only hear them on the TV. It fit those characters.
Do you think it's similar to like the old power ballads of the 80s that they're cheesy but you just fucking always remember them?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, every rose has a thorn, things like that. But the other thing is that it kind of changed in the late 90s, early 2000s, where it became music. Like, they started using actual bands to create music. And that's like that. I mean, I know we'll get into our individual picks, but that's one of my picks was some of my favorite bands did music for these wrestlers. And I play the music in my, I own the CDs. I play the music, CDs, Jesus Christ. I play
you own
them.
The vinyl as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And the Betamax.
And the tape cassette.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, what makes a brilliant theme to you?
To me, it's a hook right off the rip, and then whatever hype, just fucking get your blood going and just, that's the shit right there.
Wayne, what does it make to you?
mixture of I feel dirty in a slag because I'm going to go for a mixture of Mop and Evie for the simple reason, for a wrestling theme, you need an opening hook so the crowd instantly know if there's a beatdown going on and then the hook hits that your favourite wrestler is running out.
Exactly, and it's ideally, got to be synonymous with the wrestler, hasn't it?
Yeah, so the crowd instantly know they're about to run out and you need that sort of hook to run throughout and just to represent that wrestler.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, all of the famous wrestlers, almost every one of them had that very first bar was a fucking hook that everybody knew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and well, some of them were sound effects.
Glass breaking.
Glass breaking, tire screeching, gong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a ton of it.
Okay, so let's go through the results from the poll.
Okay.
So the results from the poll, we had 35 votes on the music, so there's a few people who didn't do it, but wow. So others was 34%. There was a wide range on this. Then you had Hulk Hogan, Triple H, and CM Punk all had 6% each.
Which Triple H song?
Yeah, it wasn't specified. We didn't do
just a Triple H. Okay, just a Triple H.
Just a Triple H theme.
I would assume the game one.
Yeah, probably the
when I voted, that was for all of them, to be honest, because Ant was asking for wrestlers and someone who's got the game theme, DX in his repertoire, a couple of Motorhead themes. You can't have another wrestler. Yeah, he's just got so much.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now the Authority song. He's got the Authority song now too.
That's right. Then we had 9% with Edge and Undertaker both had 9% each.
I don't like Edge's music.
I think a lot of people do quite like the Edge one, but so there too. Is a tie for first.
Both
with 15% each, and it's between Stone Cold Steve Austin and the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, God.
They are your champions.
I don't identify with either one of those.
Austin, you're telling me back in the day, Attitude Era, when that glass broke, you didn't go fucking ape shit?
No, I was not an over Austin fan. I was more of a DX Rebel Triple H fan. I mean, I was never that big. Now, don't get me wrong. Whenever anybody compared WWE to WCW, I was all about Austin to whoop anybody's ass. But when it came down to the music or being an Austin fan in general, I became more of an Austin fan when he left the business rather than when he was actually wrestling.
Okay. Well, I just want to tell you, Flam, there is three of us on this panel that all voted for Ultimate Warrior. Myself, Mop, and Heavyset.
I figured Heavy would. I thought Mountie would too, but I guess Mountie, you voted for Hulk Hogan, right?
I got loyalty, man. I got loyalty.
He's got loyalty to the whole stuff.
Well, if you had loyalty, you would have picked the Mounties.
Come on. We're not the Mounties. It is fucking retarded.
There's a retarded song.
It's one of those things that's so bad it's good.
Yeah. Now.
So Heavyset, you voted for Ultimate Warrior. Why? What is it about that track itself? You said it's about getting you pumped up, yeah?
Oh, it's my ultimate get hype music. I remember one time I was going to Raw and I was flipping through all my wrestling themes, and like when Ultimate Warriors came on, I blasted the radio, I was pounding the steering wheel, I was going nuts. And if I want to get pumped, that's like one of the songs I will definitely throw on a playlist.
Yeah. So Devil Vamp, why did you vote for who you voted for?
I voted for Benoit.
You did?
I did.
Do you need some sort of psycho?
No, I really like that music. But I really like that music. The first theme song I think about when I think about wrestling is probably the DX song. That's the first one I think about. The second one I think about is the Benoit song. I like it's Our Lady of Peace, right? So
yeah, it's a Canadian band.
Yeah, I love that band. I'm a huge fan of that band. So I really like the whole thing. The whole thing just adds up to me. It just, you know, I don't know. I own this. I own the whole CD. I own the MP3 of it.
So it's
just
a personal
thing. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a perfect. It describes always his mood every time he came out to the ring. And it just wrapped up everything in one. It's what I identified as the perfect wrestling song. Yeah, there's others. I mean, I would say The Rock had a really good one. Did anybody name Randy Orton's song?
No.
Because Voices is perfect for him.
I really don't think people take into account current wrestlers all that much because you have to hear that song so goddamn much.
Yeah, that's true.
But now once he retires and is away for a while, that song will probably be up there pretty high.
Yeah, and then I would put up there Owen Hart's Enough is Enough and Time for a Change. The original Mankind music, the violin cello music that he used to come out to.
His actual entrance theme, yes. Because at that time, which was so unique, he had the entrance theme.
Yes.
And then he had the outro exit theme.
Yeah, and that didn't have a hook. It just started playing. The lights dimmed and it just started playing. And he started walking out to the ring. You didn't know what the fuck was going on with that music. It was creepy. The Undertaker music, the Stone Cold music was good. The only Stone Cold music I really didn't like is when he changed it to the Disturbed music. I hated that music.
I love the Disturbed one.
Yeah,
fuck yeah. What?
So no biscuits and gravy for you?
No.
Mm-mm. You could have asked also. I mean, we're going to Ultimate, but like, what's one of your favorite like oddball ones? And one that I've always said was Drew McIntyre. I love Drew McIntyre's thing.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people say that. Song. A lot of people. I know. Wayne will. You know, Wayne. What did you vote for? Because I have a feeling you voted for Sting.
No, I went Triple H for exactly the same reasons that I said earlier. So I'm going to do. It weren't until Ant read out the list. Edge. For the same reasons, Triple H. I forgot Old Bridge, Rob Zombie, even going back to the Brood theme. What a collection of songs he had! And I just totally
there was a vote for the Brood as well.
The Brood theme is synonymous with that era of wrestling. I mean, people still talk about that fucking music to this day. That Brood music. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Any more final thoughts on music? Because
did any WCW song get listed there at all?
No.
Disco fever. Disco fever.
I will say though, the NWO song was pretty good.
I would say the NWO song, and it was the Wolfpack song that I always thought of. But the original NWO, it was played so much, Mop, that
WCW themes, I mean, half of them weren't memorable, and there was a good part of them that were like samples. Like DDP's was Fucking Smells Like Teen Spirit. You had
Jericho's Even Flow ripoff.
Yeah.
I think most of the music is Jim Johnson music.
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, he's the man.
Jim Johnson's awesome.
Yeah. And then Hulk Hogan's was
with a D. Derringer. Bitch. Derringer, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, he also did the other one. He did both the American Made and his WWE one.
And I'm really surprised Michaels didn't get any votes.
Jimmy Hart did a lot in the back end of the day.
He got one vote, and I was quite surprised as well. Because that was my number two choice.
Of all the themes, it's that one that strikes out for you the most. And like Shawn Michaels, that's one of my favorites, but the one that strikes out the most, Forever Be Warrior.
I think I voted pretty much the exact same way.
And Shawn's...
That's probably the syndrome, isn't it? That is everyone's second favorite theme.
Yeah, I was just going to say that,
Yeah, I think Sean's kind of I would have been happier if Sean would have changed his music when he came back for his last run, because it didn't fit him anymore.
Yeah, he was no longer a boy in any sense of the word.
No, it's not a toy.
It's just iconic.
Yeah, it is.
When Hogan came back to WWE, it was still freaking. Yeah, well,
I mean, they tried to use the Jimi Hendrix music for a while for him, but it just didn't work. They had to change it back to Hulk.
They're doing the same thing with Cena. I mean, how long Cena had that same fucking song?
They've changed it and varied it as he's gone through.
A little, but nothing. He needs a whole new, more updated tune.
I know I'm probably in the minority on this panel. I fucking love Cena's theme.
So do I.
If I just didn't have to hear it so goddamn much.
Okay, on the Cena note, let's move on, I think.
All right.
Hold on. Actually, I want to throw this out about Cena. When the last Rock versus Cena, they had a... the battle between the Rat battle and the Rock battle. I was at the Raw where they had that, and with Cena, like when he came out to Word Life, I fucking marked out because I was like, oh my god,
totally.
You're marking out for Cena, but I'm like, it's this fucking song.
Yeah, I think I like Word Life better than I like my time.
You do now,
or basic fucking.
Oh, is that what it is? I do now.
Yeah, basic fuckingomics. Yeah,
okay, but yeah, 10 years ago, it was time to move on from Word Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree. All right, so I think we've pretty much covered the music there. I think we've done a good job. So let's move on to the next one, which is Style and Charisma. Now, again, this one's been a really broad spectrum. So Others got 30% for Others. Next up was, with just two votes each, really, Eddie Guerrero on 6% and Macho Man at 6%. Then Stone Cold had 8%, Ric Flair with 11%, In second place was The Rock with 14%, and right up the top, Shawn Michaels with 25% of the vote. Devil Vamp, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I put Shawn in this category, did I not?
I believe you did.
I'm pretty sure I did. I mean, when I think about the style, he's got it.
You didn't.
Who did I put?
You were the only person to vote for this person as well. You put Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did put Kevin Owens.
Someone had just watched NXT when they dubbed
him. No.
That's exactly what it is. That's a little too close.
No. You know what I'd done? I had just got finished watching that Raw when he came out and fucking pop-up powerbombed John Cena is what happened. But honestly, the style and charisma for that one, I thought I did Shawn, but he has a different style. He does different interviews. He speaks at a different cadence than everybody else, and he has a different type of charisma that I really enjoy. It's something completely different than what's going on or what you've seen in the past. He's his own person, and he feels comfortable being his own person. And to me, it just shows. It just shows, and I totally identify with that. It's not necessarily that he beat John Cena. It's not anything like that. He hasn't done a lot of good, crazy matches for me because he's still new for me, too. But I identify.
Well, we're not talking the technical ability, correct, are we? We're correct. Talking about the pure style and charisma.
Yeah, he makes every time he does an interview on the YouTube that they put up or on WWE Network, I laugh at it because it's so different. When he makes Renee repeat stuff back to him, when he makes people follow along, he's like, "Don't just look at me like that. Shake your head, yes or no. Give me." I love that. I love the fact that he talks to people in interviews. So he like flips the script on the whole thing. And I mean, what do I have to say about the charisma? I mean, he does what he does. I don't know.
He oozes it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I just identify with him. That's all.
Yeah. Wayne, do you concur with that as well?
I was going to go Shawn Michaels when I was doing the poll, but I realized that I was putting Shawn Michaels to everything. So I went for a slightly different way. I went for the wrestler called Other, who's a fantastic wrestler, as you know, by 30%. No, seriously.
Fantastic wrestler.
I went style. I thought you meant style of fighting and stuff. And I went Mick Foley for the simple fact that, but I think I've misread the thingy, but never mind. I'll explain why I put Mick Foley.
You interpret it your own natural way. So
that's for someone that is willing to put their body to like that much shit and chair shots to the head and throw themselves off a cage just to entertain us, you've got to respect.
Yeah, and he's certainly charismatic. I mean, the guy's a stand-up.
Yeah, so there's no doubt, and that's why I went Mick Foley. The first thought was Shawn Michaels, but I was literally... And I didn't realise I was such a Shawn Michaels mark until I was doing the questions. That was like, Shawn Michaels... Sure, well, most everything. So I thought I'd go for a slightly.
He does get votes across the board. He's one of the only people that in every category gets a vote.
Honestly, so. Wayne, I was doing the same thing. I was like, oh, okay, I'll put, okay.
So, Heavyset, you happy with Shawn Michaels winning the style and charisma?
Yeah, when I took it, just when I read style and charisma, that's just the first thing that popped in my head. There was no, like, because if you go back to the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view where we were talking, like, I was like, oh, I better fill that out now. That was one that, like, I just read it. I'm just like, that's hands down Shawn Michaels. He, only because I grew up on that charisma and style, I just fell in love with it. And to me, he was one of those people that was definitely destined to be a wrestler. And granted, he's not the big star, but I think he carved his niche in history better than a lot of people who could.
Yeah, completely agree. The Mountie. What do you think of that result?
I can't believe nobody's mentioned Macho Man at this point.
Well, he did get two votes. He got 6% of the vote.
Just like growing up, like, yeah, you know, I had a huge love for Hogan, but who did everybody imitate? It was Macho Man. Who did everybody imitate to this day? And he hadn't wrestled in a long time.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. Just all of his mannerisms in the ring. And just the guys looked like he was on crack 24 hours a day. Fuck. Just oozing fucking awesomeness, man. Everybody was just wanted to be this guy. He was just such a natural character. Like, if there's anybody born and bred to be a wrestler, it was fucking that guy. So, yeah, I mean, Michaels and all of them have their good points, but I guess because I relate to it more when I started watching wrestling, for me, it's Macho.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I was watching the network the other day. I think it was like yesterday I was watching the network. I just caught it, and I think it was a Stampede where Macho Man came back for the first time, and he came, or like, I don't know what, it was Hogan going against the that stupid Kevin Sullivan group that they had.
The Dungeon or whatever.
Oh, Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, the Dungeon of Doom.
Was in that, wasn't he?
Yes, yes.
And the Big Show.
Yes. Well, the Big Show hadn't shown up yet, but it was three of them in the ring. It was Barber Beefcake, which they called the Butcher. It was Earthquake, which they called
Shark.
And then it was Kevin Sullivan, who they, I don't even remember.
The Taskmaster.
Yes, the Taskmaster.
Hey.
So it was those three going against Hogan, and the crowd was so dead. And it was so, you could tell the crowd was like bored out of their skulls. When Macho Man hit, Macho Man's music hit, oh, the crowd went crazy. And then they figured out that Macho Man was with Hogan instead of against Hogan. Holy shit, that crowd was crazy. And he was doing his hand movements. Oh, yeah. He was pointing at everybody, and it was just a good, and you watch that documentary that they made, and he's not in it that much, but Mountie's right, man. There's just something about that guy.
And you must be regretting your Kevin Owens vote now.
Yeah, I think.
But it's interesting you should mention Hulk Hogan, because Mop Jockey, that's who you voted for on this one.
Yeah, I mean, how can you argue Hulk Hogan's charisma? I mean, how long has he been a household fucking name? I mean, everybody knows who Hogan is. That's my childhood though too, so I'm a little biased.
No, I completely agree. If you're talking about the general fan, I actually asked Amy. I was going through the list because at the end of this, there's a top 10 ultimate. We do a point system, and okay. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. But I went through the top 10 list, and she only knew one.
Hogan.
One name. Hogan.
Hogan's not actually in that list.
Cena.
But she said to me after, "Where's Hulk Hogan?"
Oh wow!
So she actually brought his name up. So yeah, he's just wow. If you think wrestling, you think Hulk Hogan. If you're a casual,
I was about to say. Well, if you're our age, you think Hulk Hogan. If you're 20 something, you don't think Hulk Hogan. I think you think Cena.
I don't know.
I think it's what about that 32, 33 mm-hmm. mark and lower? Don't really know much Hogan.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it depends. Like, there's always a history part that will always, I think, reign supreme. I liked baseball when I was growing up. I wasn't a massive fan, but I know when I thought like the history of baseball or one of the greatest baseball players, I thought Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth, yeah.
I was never around for Babe Ruth, but I knew him. And I still think there has to be that kind of name recognition with some of the younger fans today.
That's a really interesting. I love that conversation. That's a really
other sports thing. Actually promote their history, where wrestling kind of tries to hide it most of the time.
I don't know if they necessarily hide it, Mop, or if they're just so concentrated on where
it's so inconsistent. Yeah. You can't like,
exactly
feuds and then be best friends and then go back to feud. I think that's why they can't really push their history.
I think it's also they're constantly moving and constantly going forward that it's hard to look back sometimes. But some of the best time that we have in wrestling is those little vignettes that we have before WrestleMania to pump us up for that, to pump us up for SummerSlam, all that history that the WWE uses. And then on the network, it's history bound. That's what the network's all about, to maintain their history and to bring back those feelings that you had when you were a kid.
Yeah, completely agree. So that's that one done. I think we've covered the style and charisma. Let's move on to the next one, which is physique. Now, this has been interpreted many different ways. people have voted more on the look. So there's some people with not probably the best physique, but have a good look. So let's go through the results on this. It's been interpreted in so many different ways. So 28% on others this time.
Fucking others get near the top on all of them, don't he?
not on all of them. This is only the first three, Wayne. And then there's four people on 6% on this. We've got Randy Orton, John Morrison, Scott Steiner, and Cena with two votes each. Then we move up to Batista with 9%, Undertaker, Ultimate Warrior, and Brock Lesnar. And then, so this is really wide. So the winner with just 12% is Rick Rude.
How many votes is that? Three?
So, Vamp, what did you think of that one? Rick Rude.
I voted. I mean, I understand Rick Rude because, I mean, he's Rick Rude. You know, he's Rick Rude. He had Jake the Snake Roberts' wife face on his crotch and butt at one point. You got to have a physique to pull that off. All the chicks would used to woo and holler. I picked Wade Barrett for a physique. I identify with Wade Barrett's physique. I enjoy.
You identify with Wade Barrett's physique?
I do. I do.
Certainly not in the mirror.
No. That's what I would strive for. That's exactly the look I would strive for.
That's your ideological man.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Absolutely sexy. Absolutely.
But if you really think about it, Barrett and Brood, the body types are not that different.
No, yeah,
it's
you're right.
1% yeah. body fat, yep. just fucking ripped.
Ripped. And what Barrett used to not be like that, it's when he took that last break, he come back completely ripped.
Yeah, he's definitely, his body shape has changed, but that seems to happen a lot with the WWE guys. They come in, look at Kevin Owens now, he's starting to slim down a little bit more. Their gym structure, not drugs, must be fantastic in the WWE.
So, I mean, Cena, people said, I know he's got a really good physique, but he looks like the Terminator.
Man, the guy is 45 years old. I'd love to look like that 45.
Cena's 45?
No, I don't think he's that old, but he's
early
quite
40s
old.
He's or late 30s.
I think he's late 30s.
38.
I think he's 38, but yeah.
I mean, he looks like the Terminator. He does. Compare him to Arnold. And he looks like he does. He looks almost exactly like Arnold.
And at the end of every fight, he goes, "I'll be back."
He's got, less.
Don't give up.
He's got less.
I'll be back.
I think it goes down to what you said before, though. Like your preferred body type or what you would see yourself as. And obviously, guys have different opinions. Like some people like to be jacked. Some people like to be more slender, less body fat. So I think it depends on how you envision yourself. I guess ideally, if you were in the WWE.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's the same thing.
I didn't go with myself. I went with who I think looks like a fucking beast, and that was Brock Lesnar. You can't. To me, the guy is just...
Would have thought you'd have been Rick Rude because you're a bit of a Rick Rude mark.
I do love a bit of Rick Rude, but...
Did anybody say Batista?
Yes, Batista got 9%.
See,
I think you walked alone in that selection.
Yeah,
here's the difference, too. Brock Lesnar looks like a farm-fed Wisconsin boy. I mean, he looks like a big-ass farmer.
Well,
is what he looks like.
Well, he is.
I know. That's what he is.
Because he is.
Yeah, but Batista looks like he's been injecting stuff into his body the whole time, and Brock doesn't look like that. And that's a different thing. Ultimate Warrior looks like he's been injecting shit into his body the whole time. And Brock and Cena don't look like that. They don't have that weird look, that drug look, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Wayne, you went for Finn Balor. Explain that one.
Just the simple fact that I like his body shape in the way for what has just been said was he don't look like he injects and that. It looks like a natural muscle. He's got a neck, which I don't like these wrestlers, where their neck disappears into the shoulder.
So you don't like Benoit? Is that what you're saying?
Guerrero.
Kurt Angle is another one that doesn't have a neck.
Because he broke it so many damn times. Guerrero too. Guerrero. Towards the end, Guerrero lost his shit. Man, he was so jacked.
Oh, well, because he couldn't. He didn't want to do drugs anymore. He started to work out.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. That's pretty much what killed him.
Yeah.
His drug use weakened his heart. And instead of doing drugs and drinking all the time, he just
worked out.
Supplemented it with working out, and that pretty much killed his heart. Yeah.
Did anybody say Triple H, Ant?
Did you?
No. No, I was Barrett.
No, not a single word.
Well, Triple H really doesn't have a definitive body type different from everyone else.
Yeah.
That's what I was going for, was different. You know what I'm saying? Not, Cena's jacked, Triple H is jacked. Mm. You know, they're all jacked.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look that much different than everyone else.
Yeah, and you chose Rick Rude yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, because, that was the first guy that I had ever seen, like, as a kid that looked like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you had the Warrior that was, just fucking monstrous, but he looked like a normal dude that had just put on some muscle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he looked like a normal dude that had just been in the gym for 20 straight years.
Right.
One of my favorite ever memories, it was a Royal Rumble, and Rick Rude got eliminated. And me and my friends were getting stoned at the time, and we was watching it. Rick Rude was just walking around the ring, flexing his muscles for about 30 minutes. It was fucking fantastic. I think it was like Royal Rumble from like 92 or something. It was brilliant.
Did anybody put Sean for this? And because I thought Sean for this too.
Yes, Sean did get a vote. He got one vote, I believe, Shawn Michaels, and that came from remember.
Yeah, you don't have to put who it came from. But
I come from Biohazard.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean Sean too. Sean looks like a normal guy that looks like he'd just been running in the gym and working on the gym too.
Yeah. He's got a dad bod.
Razor Ramon had a great physique. I mean, you can name them, just keep naming them. They all have great physique.
Oh god. Young Razor Ramon was fucking jacked, dude.
Yeah.
Don't they say something about us that none of us have actually mentioned anyone like Paige or like a female wrestler? We just
I,
know, see,
I, didn't, male. You know, I didn't take I didn't Wayne, take the question that way.
Me neither.
Wayne, there was one female vote which came from Dermot. So Dermot, you are the heterosexual of the
group. I was gonna say he's the dirty filthy mind.
What? And he voted for Tori Wilson.
Oh yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd probably go for more of a Lita look, but
so yeah, definitely Lita, dude. Yeah.
I missed the category. What are we talking about?
Physique still.
We're doing physique.
Oh, okay.
Rick Rude won it.
All right.
Okay.
Nothing to add.
No, I was supposed to say I think I picked Warrior.
Yeah.
Which, yes, you did. Yeah.
I would say it's like I explained on the Elimination Chamber commentary. It's because, like, when I thought of physique, I thought of the figure that I used to have, and the old Warrior figure was jacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was between Warrior and Rude for me.
Well, the Mountie voted for Warrior as well, didn't you?
Yeah, for me, again, it goes back to that 80s era. It's my favorite era of wrestling. And at the time, you thought fucking massive jack guy was the fit guy. And even though Warrior would fucking gas after 30 seconds running to the ring, but he fucking played the part perfectly, man. You see a guy like that, that to me was a wrestler in the 80s.
It's so different. I don't identify with him at all. I see
that. Did you, now wait, when did you get like to see him though?
I saw him when I was a kid. I remember seeing him every once in a while when I was a kid, but it wasn't like he wasn't like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan.
No, you probably
I was going to say you missed him after his initial WWE run, didn't you?
I was so young, but I probably did.
It was him and Hogan at WrestleMania 6, I want to say.
I think it was.
Is that right?
Five, maybe?
Five or six.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the Warrior I remember.
Yeah. See, I'm more of a like superpower guy. Like when I remember the 80s, it's more of the, you know, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and Bam Bam Bigelow and a Ricky Dragon Steamboat. Oh, fuck yeah. Ric Flair. And then I barely even watched WCW back in the day, but it was all that for me. I never identified with Warrior. He always looks so weird to me. Always looks so weird to me.
I think he looked great. I was actually going to vote for China because of a massive punch bag clitoris, but you know.
What about Nicole Bass?
Wow.
Thank you, Evan.
Or should I say, how about Nicole Bass?
How about Nicole Bass, Evan? Would you like to suck on my small penis?
Let's move on now. We've got a big one next. It's technical ability. It's probably one of the most important things that a wrestler can have. We had a number of votes on this one, and the others only got 13%.
Oh, wow.
So, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys who split the rest of it. So with 6% is Eddie Guerrero and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. We've got 8% for Daniel Bryan, Dean Malenko, and Shawn Michaels.
Daniel Bryan?
Chris Benoit.
I'm guessing not WWE Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, probably ROH or whatever.
It's a historic thing, so it could be from wherever. Chris Benoit next with 11%. Then we move up to Kurt Angle on 18%. And then the winner, Bret the Hitman Hart on 22%. Heavyset, what do you think of that?
I think that's the right choice because he is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. And he beat the Bounty.
Fuck you, man.
Okay, Mountie, what do you think of that?
You know what? He's with the Countryman, but still, for me, I know he's a fucking murderer or whatever, but Benoit was the technician for me, especially in the WCW days in Japan. This guy fucking ate shit, fucking breathed wrestling. I mean, you can't say that there was a more dedicated guy, in my opinion, to the business. You know, apart from murdering people. Again, I keep bringing that up, but fucking, if you base it just on the ability alone, like, the guy was fucking just A1 in the ring.
You go back and watch that.
One of my favorite wrestling matches of all time was Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. It's just a technical masterpiece, and it takes two to tango. I voted for Kurt Angle. I mean, the guy's a fucking Olympic champion in wrestling, but to me, those two together, It was definitely a toss up.
You go back and watch that Eddie Guerrero Chris Benoit match, the last match they had in ECW. Holy shit, dude! It a masterpiece, fucking masterful. You couldn't find a bad spot in that match. Could not find it.
So, Vamp, you done a double vote. You cheated a little bit, didn't you? You went for Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Yeah, because when I think Bret Hart, I think Shawn Michaels. When I think Shawn Michaels, I think Bret Hart. When you're talking about in-ring technical ability, they're a mirror image of each other. That's the problem. Bret was more of a technical... on the ground style, on the mat style wrestler. Yeah, every once in a while he got up in the air just a little bit, or had to jump on a table or something. But he didn't do a lot of that. But he on the other hand, Shawn was that guy. He could get technical and he could get, but he was technical in the air. I mean, when you think of Shawn Michaels, you think of him jumping in the air off of the turnbuckle onto a table. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a masterpiece in the air. And it's just those two together put on the best match I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that 60-second Iron Man match is still one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Wow, 60-second Iron Man match.
Oh,
holy
sorry.
Shit.
Dude, I could do 60 one.
So many Iron things Man there, Serena.
Sorry, 60-minute Iron Man match.
Sounds like my sex life.
60-minute Iron Man match. I mean, it's... When you go back and you watch the Rivalries DVD with them, they talk about it, how they just talked about it. They didn't even write anything down. They didn't do anything. All they did was talk about it. And Bret said he looked up at the screen and he found out what time they were at. He said they were literally on the minute. They were on the perfect. They were that good with timing and everything. They were on the minute that they knew they should have been at. It was
match certainly goes down in history as one of the most technically brilliant matches, probably up there with the Macho Man Ricky the Steamboat match in terms of technical.
That's another one. But and just to go back and listen to Ricky talk about it on Macho Man's DVD, and still to this day he's still getting comments on that match, and he's like on the DVD crying about it, saying, "I'm so grateful for that match at WrestleMania 3. We tore the house down. They stole that fucking show, man. I don't care if you slam 10,000 giants. It doesn't fucking matter if you don't have that match at WrestleMania 3. It just doesn't. You have to have both. You have to have the extravagance, the Goliath, David versus Goliath, which Hulk Hogan's not really a David, but whatever. And you have to have that technical ability, that match, that beautiful, beautiful match they had. And to me, it's just Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. You can't have one without the other.
Well, Wayne, you must concur, because you went for Shawn Michaels as well.
If I knew I could bloody cheat and put both, I would have.
yeah, same here.
But I went Shawn Michaels personally because he's the style of technical that I prefer. Like Devil Vamp said, the flying sort of aspect and the ring position and everything he could do spot on, where Bret Hart is more grounded, more submission based. And I preferred the, because I was that age where flying was more interesting to a young child than the technical thing. Older now, I'd probably go Bret Hart, but because I appreciate that side more. But I done this through the eyes of when I originally watched it, so I went Shawn Michaels.
I was never a fan of Hart, never a fan. I liked his brother, but I was never a fan of Bret Hart. Could never get over that. I think it's because my brother liked him so much. But
if I would have known we could have did the double vote thing, like that would have definitely been mine, because I've always said my top two favorite wrestlers, I mean my favorite wrestler of all time, is a tie between those two. I will not put one in front of the other.
Well, some people can be indecisive on this panel, and Devil Vamp's certainly one of those.
No.
But Mop, are you happy with Bret Hart winning this one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how could you argue that? I mean, he really is the best there was, yada, 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 the rest of that shit.
Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be.
But you personally chose Eddie Guerrero for this.
Yeah, actually, I had Benoit, and then I sat there and thought, I was like, I don't want to give credit to Benoit for anything, so I changed it to Eddie. But I don't know, it's just that bringing that lucha style, kind of that American lucha style together, is just, that's, you know, I got to go back to what I remember from back when. You know what I mean? What the first time I saw these things.
Mop, yes, question sir? For you. When you hear Benoit Steam or watch a match on the network, does it still creep you out?
Not creeps me out, but makes me less interested to watch it. Like, I might actually fast forward.
Well, Mountie, you went for Benoit on this one. So do you still go back and watch his matches?
I don't specifically go to watch the match, but if it's airing... So actually, I don't know if I've ever seen
it. Is it the fact that the crippler crossface, you like to replicate that at home? Or
No. I remember just selecting a pay-per-view the first time and seeing him come out, and it was fucking, it was just weird. It was uncomfortable. I still did it because, I mean, it's great to see him wrestle, and, you know, you can't judge his in-ring work. You got to be, in my opinion, you got to be able to separate the two because he wasn't well at the time. But it's still a bit of an eerie feeling when he comes out, or even when I hear that Our Lady Peace song, it's like just something's wrong. And that's probably the WWE machine made me that way, partially because they never mention him.
It's not like I'm going to skip WrestleMania 20's main event because it's Benoit. I just don't go out of my way to find them.
Wayne, what was you going to say?
I was just going to say, I find it more uncomfortable seeing him do the flying headbutt than to see him do the...
Yeah, because that's the
crippler crossface, knowing that that was the one that fucked him up in the head and shit. People keep saying, oh, crippler crossface, but I actually find the flying headbutt spot more sort of cringe to watch.
I'm going to agree, Wayne. And I think Wayne and I talked about this in a past WrestleCast, I think, how uncomfortable we are when anyone does that flying headbutt.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Looks like that's doing the same thing to Daniel Bryan, issues and stuff.
Well, and then you've got Ziggler doing the headbutts, and I just, it's just cringeworthy.
It is, yeah. Maybe they should start wearing head guards.
Well, I don't know about that.
Like little
how about just stop swinging your fucking head as a weapon?
Little retarded kids running around in the ring.
I was more thinking Vince McMahon getting use out of the XFL stuff that he has left over from storage and busting out something.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of it, doesn't he?
I would probably agree with the Mountie on that. I don't go out of my way to look for the matches unless, you know, like we're talking about. I'm thinking about going on, as soon as we leave, I'm thinking about going on and watching that Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit match, that last ECW match. But definitely. I don't go out of the way to find it or anything like that at all, which I probably would have if he had just retired or whatever. But I think so too. I think there's a little bit of WWE brainwash in there, but I think it's also natural too. There's something that's just weird there. Obviously, and like Manny said, he just obviously wasn't well.
Bret Hart winning this technical ability vote, that you don't have to put your life on the line. You can just be a technical genius and provide fantastic entertainment for people.
You don't have to put your life on the line, but you'll still have your career ended in the middle of the ring by a boot to the face.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. All right, let's move on because we've got still lots to cover. The next one is another big one. It's selling ability. And as most people would expect, there is a three-way tie for selling ability. So others for this one is 19%, which I was quite surprised by. Then with 6% was Ricky Steamboat. 9% Ric Flair, and then the three big sellers in history of the business. And it's almost a three-way tie, to be fair. So with third place, with 20%, was Mr. Perfect. And then a tie for the number one spot, with 23% each, Shawn Michaels and Dolph Ziggler. DeMountie, what did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I chose Michaels. And Ziggler, when he first came on the scene doing the Dolph Ziggler gimmick, I instantly thought that's Shawn Michaels. Like, for me, that guy's the measuring stick. Also, when you see Tyler Breeze, it reminds me of Michaels the same way.
I thought Mr. Perfect when I first saw Ziggler.
In terms of selling, I thought it was Michaels. And, like, you know, again, I'm not going to repeat too much, but Hogan's, like, one of my favorite guys. And one of my favorite matches is his 2005 match with Michaels. And that's all because of Michaels. I remember being a kid wanting to see that match because I knew how well Michaels would make Hogan look. Even as a kid, I wanted to see it.
Well, yeah, Michaels is also the king of the oversell, isn't he?
Yeah, and for me, again, being in that 80s era, I fucking adore the overselling. I know it's a show, and I don't care if they go a little over the top with Michaels. Like, you know, when he did the Hogan, when he fucking stood up and then flipped down again, yeah, that was ridiculous. But just selling most of Hogan's offense before that made me love the match even more. That guy is just the top. Nobody can top that.
And Mountie, why do you think he took that match? You think he did it just to have fun?
Yeah, I think it was just to do it because he had never done it. I'm sure the payday was pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. There's a story behind that come out for that match. It was supposed to be best out of three, and Michaels was due to win the first match and then Hogan win the feud. But Hogan was like, no, I'm not lying down for Michaels and stuff. And Michaels was like, come on, I'm fucking younger and everything. This is going to look stupid. I'm going to have to win one. And Hogan refused to lay down. So Michaels was like, right, if you want to fucking be like that, he goes, you want me to fucking sell? I'll fucking sell. and hence the overselling in the Hogan match was fucking wow. OTT. That was fucking Michaels having a hissy, making him look as stupid
what
as
match,
possible.
What match was that?
The
was it WrestleMania?
Yeah.
SummerSlam 2000.
SummerSlam.
There it is.
I'm going to
watch
that.
And I mean,
that.
To be fair, all three of those guys have a bit of the oversell-itis. I mean, yeah. All three of the top guys do, but
so does Ric Flair, of course.
Oh yeah, but that's what you have to play to the crowd too, which you have to be big, and it just shows up more on TV.
Did The Rock make the vote at any time?
He might have got a vote.
I was gonna say no one sells the stunner like The Rock.
Oh yes, no one sells the stunner.
Scott Hall,
Vince McMahon.
McMahon just takes it, son. He just takes that shit on the
Vince
chin.
Vince McMahon got a vote.
Did he really?
Yeah, Vince McMahon got a vote.
He was so bad.
But no Rock.
I was about to say, Vince had some great stunner takes.
Yeah, he did.
Because, I mean, he took it so many times. Like, I don't think he did like it the same the whole way around. He always did something crazy.
The story that Stone Cold always says is that Vince always tells him, if you're going to hit me with it, hit me with it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah,
stuff.
like the bedpan in the little vignette.
Yeah. He said that fucking gave him a loop, man.
So, Mop, are you happy with those three being at the top?
Yeah, I've got no problem with any one of those three. I was debating putting some of the newer guys in, like a Rusev, but I just don't. They haven't quite got enough, you know, history behind them yet.
Yeah. I always remember Ric Flair getting there's a meme about it as well somewhere or other, and he gets punched in the corner of a ring and he walks forward about 8 steps and then falls on his face. I fucking love that oversell. I chose Ric Flair, but
who did I pick? And did I pick
you
Ziggler?
Chose the same as Heavy Set. You chose Dolph Ziggler.
Ziggler, yes.
Why Ziggler? What is it about Ziggler that makes him maybe over Michaels to you on the selling department?
I think it. He can oversell just a little bit, but I don't necessarily think he goes a little bit too far, in my opinion. Sean takes a page out of Ric Flair's book, I think, and adds it to his own repertoire. I think Ziggler takes a page out of Sean's book, therefore it's toned down a little bit. It's not as obvious as Flair or Sean's was, or I'm trying to think of somebody else. Who's the other one that you listed, the top three?
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Perfect. I totally forgot about Mr. Perfect. I don't think I've ever seen a lot of his matches.
He was a fantastic seller, that's for sure.
Yeah, but, I guess I would put those two together because if you think about it, I mean, Ziggler's right there with him as far as titles, right? I mean, Mr. Perfect maintained the Intercontinental Championship most of his career. He never won a world title.
Yeah, no, he never won the big one.
Yeah, Ziggler only had the big one for a little while and hasn't got back up there yet.
Well, he's had it twice. Technically, one was actually really a little while, like an hour.
Yeah.
And then he won it, and then got injured.
Yeah.
Well, Heavyset, what puts Ziggler, because you voted Ziggler, what puts him above Michaels for you?
I mean, if I could have did like more than one vote, I think I would have picked a three-way tie between Ziggler, John Cena, and Davey Richards because...
I love that. A.H. Walker's going to be freaking the fuck out when you say that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Now, when it comes to Ziggler, it's who can sell me a catch of popsicles to a woman in white gloves? Just a guy like Ziggler can make you think he's dead. And that has happened so many times where you think, oh my God, he's injured. And it's just, no, he sold it. And that's one thing he's very good at. So when I think salesman, hands down, Dolph Ziggler. And I mean, granted, like, he may take something out of the book of Mr. Perfect or Shawn Michaels, but I think he made it better.
But you think Cena, really? I think Cena oversells too much at the beginning of his matches.
Devil, there's this thing called sarcasm. I don't know if you know what that is.
Oh,
let me explain to you what sarcasm is.
Sorry, can't see your face. Sorry.
So, Mop, you went for Mr. Perfect. So this whole group have gone for pretty much different things. Why Mr. Perfect for you?
Once again, because that's my childhood, and that's what I remember the most of. I mean, they're all good. I mean, there's not a bad one in the bunch. So I just went with Perfect.
Okay. And Wayne, do you want to round it up with what you went with?
I went Michaels. I don't, you know, the reason I didn't go Ziggler is because the way you describe him is, oh, he sells like Shawn Michaels. So you go for the original, don't you? And for me, his best sell was always the top rope fall when he used to fall on his nuts on the top rope. No one could sell that better than Shawn.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so we're going to go move on. And we're going to go on to the king of the spot.
Heavy, mute.
Oh, my bad.
So we're going to go on to from Selin to the King of the Spot. Now, this one is a resounding victory. By far the clearest victory of all the categories. So with others, we had 19% this time. And then a three-way tie for fourth between Rob Van Dam, Edge, and Shawn Michaels again. Joint second place with 9% each is Mick Foley and Shane McMahon got in there. But the winner with 48%, Jeff Hardy.
I knew
that. What do you think about that? Jeff Hardy taking it that easy.
It's so easy to pick him. I mean, he did so many crazy fucking things. But when it comes down to it, I'm sorry, Shane just outshined the kid. Shane just outshined him, in my opinion. Now, granted, I haven't seen a lot of the spots he did in TNA. I heard he's done a lot of crazy things in TNA. But, I mean, that's why I voted for Shane, because I have more memories of Shane jumping off shit and doing crazy things than I do of anybody else doing anything else. Honestly, I do.
You didn't vote for him.
Who did I vote for?
Yeah, we even talked about this on the commentary.
I voted for Jeff, didn't I?
Yes.
Fuck.
Because as soon as, like, I didn't know who to vote for, and you said Jeff, and I'm like, oh my God, that's right, that's perfect.
No. Heavy. He didn't.
Who did I vote for?
You voted for fucking Macho Man.
No, I didn't.
You did.
Did I really?
You did.
No.
You voted for Macho Man.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I don't think I did that. Did I really do that?
Did.
I have nothing to say.
Okay, so I think that's a rescinding.
Here's what you should have did, because some of these answers were kind of weird for him. You should have asked him like a week later, be like, "Oh, I never got that. Can you resend it?"
Yeah, I probably should have.
And then watching them be all different. Be like, what the fuck?
Oh, now to be fair though, if I was to take this now as opposed to a couple weeks ago, they probably would be all different.
Yes, how you feeding at the time, isn't it? I suppose. So Mop, who did you vote for in this one?
I misinterpreted the question. I was thinking of a single spot, and that's Lesnar's F5, the finishing move. Dude, I fucking love that finishing move.
It's a great finishing move. Yeah, a few people got that. When I asked for the King of Spot, they actually done finishing moves rather than a spot junkie, if you will. So, yeah, there was a couple in there. Mountie, what do you reckon of that Jeff Hardy resounding victory?
Yeah, it makes sense. Although, I'd like to change my vote, if I may.
Well, you went for Rob Van Dam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And listen, I'm not a huge ECW mark, but New Jack was fucking retarded. He jumped off a building. Like the top of, like 40 feet off the top of a building onto a fucking table. Like, he just didn't give a shit.
He also almost killed a kid.
This dude dressed up in a bus uniform and he stabbed him or whatever. Like, he's fucking insane. Completely insane.
He has been brought up on multiple charges for attempted murder for stabbing people in a ring.
Yeah. I know if you go to YouTube, I think it's What Culture started a YouTube channel. I happen to be just browsing through shit. I think they did like the top 10 shoots, like in ring shoots.
Oh, and God,
New Jack was legitimately on the list three times and counting the number one spot.
I have my picks here, Ant. I did not pick Macho Man. Macho Man was my in-ring storytelling.
Okay.
I picked Christian Edge / the Hardy Boys.
You've also got Macho Man for storytelling, yes. I'm aware of that. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was. That is my bad.
Yeah.
No, Ant made a mistake.
I did. I was just reading the one below. So yes, you picked the Hardy / Edge and Christian. Yes. You was being indecisive again.
Yes, indecisive.
Okay, Wayne, who did you pick? You want to explain this one, don't you?
Yeah, that's the only one I actually explained on the reply back to you. And that's Undertaker, mainly because he's made a 20-plus year career out of just spots. You can't say he's a fantastic in-ring worker. He sort of needs to be sort of carried in his matches, but his matches are memorable usually for the end and, you know, somehow shoehorning the dead man gimmick into it, or you could say some of his biggest stunts was Mankind, you know, throwing himself off stuff, you know, but...
But surely that was Mankind more than Taker.
Yeah, but...
Taker had
just
to do it.
Even the Yokozuna match and stuff.
Yeah.
Just the whole Undertaker's career is basically through the dead man gimmick and the spots that come out of that, rather than his working and that. So for me, spot junkie has to be Undertaker.
That's such a unique point of view, Wayne.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Good personal
Absolutely.
Interpretation.
Do I have to remind everybody?
New Jack did get a vote, by the way, guys. Finn Fish voted for New Jack.
Of course.
Do I have to remind everybody that he jumped off the top of a building? Like,
well, now technically, so did Mankind,
and so did Shane.
Yeah, but that was on a giant fucking pad,
air mattress.
New Jack's padding was a table and cement.
Was it more than one? It was just one table?
No, I think it was like a table.
Yeah, it was about eight tables in a row. Wasn't
40 feet onto a table.
Yeah, he was crazy.
But to be fair, how high up is was those belts hanging in that ladder match, that TLC match, that fucking Hardy and
it was a small Edge. House. It was definitely a small house.
No, I'm talking about height wise. I bet that was every bit of 20 foot.
You talking about the ladder?
Yeah, how high up on hanging from that belt?
20 feet probably, yeah. Cuz you had to get
that spear and then
you had to get that tall ladder to get to they raised it higher that time too.
Fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Or what was it, Bubba Dudley, that was at the top of a ladder, went out of the, got pushed over out of the ring and threw tables down onto the floor.
It was Bubba and Matt Hardy.
Fuck, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, that was on that 20-foot ladder too. So technically, they probably fell about 25 feet.
That's insane that someone would do that to themselves.
Yeah, completely agree. And Heavyset, just to round it off, you voted for the winner, Jeff Hardy. No qualms from you.
Oh, no, because he has had some of the most craziest spots ever. And granted, I think Shane's up there, too, but Jeff Hardy made a career out of it. I mean, the only other person to do the same thing as him is Foley.
Didn't he just recently take a ladder spot from a ladder to the stairs?
He just he recently took a dirt bike spot to the
ain't that some fucking shit? He jumps off 20-foot ladders and is fine. He rides a goddamn dirt bike and breaks his leg.
He was doing a jump.
Devil fan, why do you think that Jeff's taken this so much and Matt Hardy didn't even get a single vote? Is it maybe because he's a little bit pudgy?
Matt never climbed a ladder in his life.
He's fat Hardy. He hates heights.
And he hates you as well.
He does.
So let's move on. Let's go to another easier one. This one's gonna be backstage Paul. It's actually quite close between the two top guys, and I think everyone knows who those two guys will be. But so others were 15% this time.
Who are the others?
Kevin Nash got 6% of the vote, along with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That makes sense.
What?
With 9% was The Undertaker. 30%, just in second place with 30%, Hulk Hogan. And, of course, the number one, Triple H, 34%. Devil Vamp, what you got to say about that?
Does Hogan have that much pull?
Fuck yes.
What he did back in the day.
He killed a company over it.
He still does when, like, especially, well, within WWE, if you make Vince a lot of money, you get a lot of pull. Mm-hmm. And take that on top of he had a shit ton of pull in WCW, him, Nash, and a handful of other people. Yeah, so, that's where it comes from.
Yeah, I forgot the whole WCW thing, how much pull they all had at WCW. I eliminate WCW out of my mind because, you know, they went under, so fuck them. You know what I put, Triple H, you know.
I wasn't thinking about Triple H because I don't know why I just didn't associate Triple H as a wrestler at this point. But I put Hogan, but then as soon as I saw Triple H, I'm like, oh, fuck, how do you get more pull than that?
Yeah, when you not only do you create the click or you're a part of the click, not only do you create DX or you're a part of DX, whichever one. I mean, tomatoes, tomato, but be pedantic about it. But you have that much pull in your characters. It's been known that they had that much pull in their characters that they set the stage of what they were going to do because it was, you know, whatever. But,
I was voting for this one, I voted more in-ring sort of side of things. I know it's called Backstage Pool, but I've voted for more creative control. And to me, that's Hogan. So there's six of us on this podcast. Three of us voted Hogan and three of us voted Triple H. So it's
a lot of people say it's because you fucked the owner's boss or whatever. I mainly put it because he's taking fuck the owner's daughter.
Well, if that was the case, Macho Man would be quite high up, wouldn't
but
it?
No.
No, it had to be willingly.
Yes. So this was my thing. I took it as he's taking over the business. When he dies, it's not going to be Steph. It's going to be him. I mean, that's
it'll be Steph's name, but it'll be Triple H.
It'll be Triple H. I mean, that's it's known that it's going to be Triple H. I mean, he sits there every single week next to Vince in front of the TV, making decisions, saying what's good, what's bad. He's creating. He is single-handedly in charge of every single star they're about to bring up in the new generation. I mean, how much more pull do you need, son?
Actually, clarification: the new generation's already been brought up, and that was in the 90s. But I'm sure.
Yeah, okay.
The Mountie, you voted for Hogan, so back me up. Back me up. Why over Hogan over Triple H?
For backstage, I voted Triple H.
Did you?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. Me and my
Yeah, like I said, dude, once I saw Triple H, I would have changed my vote, but
There's no way. I mean, you fucking marry the boss's daughter. You're literally going to own the WWE. You can't. Like, there's no fucking debate.
Triple H cashed in the ultimate lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think he's had a lot of backstage pull from, like Vamp was saying, you know, back in the click and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when he got with Stephanie, like, legitimately, not just the storyline-wise, legitimately, literally he gained spots backstage. And obviously there's a lot of title reigns that people say it was because of his pull. That might have been true back then, but the backstage pull he has now and everything, like, he took his wrestling career and turned it into a backstage pull career. Come on, that's it.
I mean,
you can't get any better. Yeah. The only way you could get better is if you found a way to Vince to sign over the company to you without dying, without fucking Stephanie.
That's exactly what I was just thinking, Evie. I was like, the only way to get better than that is if you buy out WWE from underneath Vince. That's the only way you can get better than that.
Fair enough. Wayne, you got anything to add on that?
Yeah, well, originally he was going to inherit the WWE just simply because he had McMahon juice on his dick. But now I actually think he generally deserves it with what he has done with NXT. He's made an actual rival company, but within WWE. It's just amazing. That's the fact that they're now going to go on possibly a full-time touring schedule with the NXT brand shows that he's on tune with what people want to see. And he is the correct choice, hopefully, going forward when Vince finally does hand it over through either retirement or death, which would probably be more likely.
Wayne, I would disagree with he is better in tune with what people want to see, I think, but that brand is not what the overall audience wants to see. That brand is what we want to see, and we are different than the basic kid and the audience.
But to be fair, we are the only ones that watch it. If it was on television where the little kids in the audience could see it, I think there'd be a whole lot more people watching NXT.
If that was the USA Network show rather than the WWE Network exclusive show, and I think you'll find a total different turnaround. But
I just put two and two together in my mind to really describe what NXT is. NXT is the new SmackDown from the 2000s.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's the Raw is always going to be the flagship, but what's brewing down in NXT has a lot of the diehard fans excited, looking towards the future and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Raw is going to bring in your money, but what we're looking forward to is that.
Yeah,
completely. And the best part is that NXT stuff starting to spill into Raw, and it's fucking awesome.
It's so good.
It is, and now, we're certainly getting the drips of it, and I can't wait till they completely open the tap. It will just be fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, anything else to add on the backstage poll? I think, for me, it's my personal hatred for Hulk Hogan that made me vote for him, so... I think, if Triple H is the one, isn't he?
Well, Triple H.
Anyway. Oh, now don't get me wrong. I fucking love Hogan, but he's a fucking piece of shit.
On that note, right, we'll move on to storytelling next. So we've got a couple more to go. This one's been really broad again. So let's go through this one. So others for this one is 27%. So quite high. Mm. Then we've got 6% Mick Foley and Eddie Guerrero. And then we've got, a three-way tie for second with just 9%. Undertaker, The Rock, and Ric Flair. And number one runs away with it again, 34%, Shawn Michaels. Wayne, what do you reckon on that? Mute.
Thank you.
that was so funny.
Like I was saying, I'll do it for a second time. I put Shawn Michaels for the simple fact that he can do everything in the ring. He can do facial expressions. He can do moves. He's just the overall package. And when you tell a story, you need to be able to display a bit of everything. you can't storytell by just doing one aspect of wrestling. You need to be able to do everything. And the fact that he's near the top of all these poles shows that he can do everything, and that makes telling the story in the ring so much easier.
Yeah, Mop, you agreed with him. You went for Michaels.
Did I do Michaels or did I do Foley?
Mick, you went Michaels.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, because I'm sitting here thinking of Foley is what I put.
You might have done. Why Foley then?
I just, dude, those fucking vignettes, like the three faces of Foley and the Kane Duke. I mean, how do you tell a better story as a, not just in-ring, but story that he's telling about the feud? He's just fucking awesome.
Fair enough. I think we've got quite a broad spectrum on this. I think all six of us have got different votes. Fam, you went Macho Man. What is it about his storytelling that compels you?
After I heard that he wrote down, and he was such a perfectionist that he sat there for 15 to 30 minutes and wrote down every move and when it was going to happen and how it was going to happen, the transitions and everything, with almost every opponent he ever had on a piece of paper, especially the one where... The WrestleMania 3 match between him and Ricky Dragon Steamboat, that was it. That's all I needed to know. That guy knew the psychology, what the moves meant, how the audience was going to take them, everything that he did in the ring meant something. And you can't, I mean, that's the bet. I would have put Sean in this place, but after I heard that, I mean, it's the greatest storyteller of all time. I mean, he's in the ring. He knows everything he's going to do, and he knows everything it means, and it's Macho Man, man. I mean, that's all I have to say, really.
Yeah, literally, all six of us have gone for different people on this one. So, old school, you went for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about how Macho Man's sitting there and planning out the match and that. I think it's, yes, definitely a detailed guy. Mm-hmm. OCD, for sure.
Yeah.
But Hogan was the type, he could just call the spot in the ring and be just as good. And if you want to see his quality, look at the match with him and Warrior at WrestleMania 6. It's by far Warrior's best match, in my opinion, and that's all because of Hogan. And that's on the big stage. I mean, Hogan's had so many matches. Yes, you know, you can call it repetitive and stuff, but he went to what worked, which is him probably selling 80% of the time.
Yeah.
And then him with his hot comeback and his fucking no selling
or
whatever.
Cena. Yeah, it's
I mean, he must have been fairly good at storytelling because, you know, he put bums on seats and a lot of them.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. My first wrestling show was Hogan against Boris Zukov. And that fucking sold out the Montreal Forum at a house show.
Jesus Christ.
20,000, like, standing room only against Boris fucking Zukov. That's the fucking amount of draw that guy had.
Now, what do you guys think about Kevin Owens so far in the WWE ring? He tells a pretty good story. He knows what he's doing, and he tells it very well.
It's a longevity thing. He's too new to a lot of people, isn't he?
Yeah. I think he tells.
Yeah, get a little grass under them feet, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, those Sami Zayn matches have not been that technical, have not been that high flying or anything like that. But they tell a story.
But then again, they've been doing this for what, 3-4 years together. Yeah.
Well, him and John told a really good story too, man.
They did on such a short build as well.
Correct. Exactly.
But, heavy set. You went Owen Hart.
Oh, I did. I thought I went Sean. Owen, what was going through my mind at the time? I'm thinking it's just some of the feuds he was in and whatnot, and just pulling you in to make you invested into the stories. Even when he was tag teaming with Yokozuna, I mean, there was still something there. When he was with the Nation, there was something there. Just the Black Heart, King of Hearts. There was always something just that he would bring you in to what he was doing.
Heavy, I think we talked about this on the Elimination Chamber live, where you were like, what's good for a storyline? And I mentioned Owen Hart, and you were like, oh yeah, Owen Hart. And then you went into that huge story you tell about him and Brett going against each other, that whole underdog story.
Well, I think, too, that's one of my favorite storylines of all time. I think if I put someone else up there, too, Sean, he's had so many great, great, great storylines and some of the stuff he did. Well, it's not even just the story he's telling in the ring wrestling-wise, maybe something he's able to do that it just will make you remember, like, Super Kick to Ric Flair. It was, you know, before that, you know, I'm sorry, I love you, or his, the
build up to Hogan and where he was, he imitated Hogan. To me, that stands out more than the actual match does, just because of how over the top it was of him doing that whole thing. But Owen, for the sample size that we got for him, that had to be what was going through my mind at the time of just telling those stories. And Brett and Owen was one of the first storylines I think I remember just getting pulled into.
Fair enough. And just to add to the sixth vote on this panel, I actually went for Eddie Guerrero. I think his storytelling in the ring was just incredible. I remember he had a match with Brock Lesnar. I think it was No Way Out, 2003, 2004. And the storytelling in that was just purely beautiful. I absolutely loved Eddie Guerrero on that. So anyone, any more else, more thoughts on the old storytelling front?
I don't think we heard from Wayne.
Yeah.
Wayne went Michaels.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was first. Sorry.
So, all right, let's move on then. And the next one is talking ability. Yep, that's right, talking ability. So, Wayne, you're out on this one, mate. But so let's go through the votes.
But I'm...
Yep.
You're lucky I was having a piece.
Does this one go over his head?
I think it did. But anyway, all right. So with others on this one, we've got 22%. Paul Heyman, despite not being a wrestler, got 6%. Oh, sorry, he got 9%, Paul Heyman. Ric Flair and Mick Foley got 6%. Then in second place, with 23%, was CM Punk. But number one, probably another slightly obvious one for the talking ability,
The Rock says
34%.
Wow.
DeMountney, what'd you reckon on that?
Yeah, I understand why Rock got it, because he appealed to the masses. As a smark, even though I fucking hate the guy, he's a selfish prick, I voted Punk. Because that whole 2011 storyline brought me back in as a wrestling fan. And it was the only one of the only storylines, we see this with Owens now, that really, like, when you saw that match with fucking Cena, just the build up of the two, him with McMahon in the ring, as a smark, I'm like, if they could write TV like this every fucking week, I would be hooked. Line and sinker, man. I still buy the shit anyways, but like, I would be like Attitude Era interested in watching it instead of having it kind of on the background, what I do with Raw right now. Even just his interview with Colt Cabana, I've listened to it 3 or 4 times because he's very entertaining and he appeals to the smarkish fan that I am now. So even though I have picked a lot of like classic era guys, for talking, I went kind of more modern in that sense. And for me, it's just Punk all the way.
Well, if you really think about it, the talking that they're doing now is just so much better than back in the day. Back in the day, there wasn't many guys that could talk. I mean, they could sell a match, yes, but they're not good storytellers.
I'm surprised Stone Cold didn't make this one.
You got a couple of votes. You got 6% or something.
Am I the only one who voted for mine?
Yeah, because he's not a wrestler.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but
the show's called Ultimate Wrestler.
But if we're
Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah, but if we're creating the perfect wrestler, that's the talking ability I want.
He's wrestled
before. Yeah, he's actually wrestled a couple of matches, yes, technically.
And if Paul Heyman is technically gotten a lot of votes too, so what's the difference besides Hera?
I mean, Bobby the Brain, if you go back and watch those vignettes between Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan, it's still funny today. Minus some of the stuff that they reference, but other than that, it's still funny today. I mean,
oh, fucking Bobby the Brain, man. Oh,
they
my
were,
God. Just
they were so on point. They
winging
were,
it, 100%.
Absolutely nothing scripted. Everything was off the top of his head. Everything was off the top of his head.
But do you think with Bobby, don't get me wrong, for me, he's up there. He is number one manager of all time.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
but,
absolutely.
On commentary, it was him and Gorilla. They were definitely a package.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. Yeah, essentially, that's where JR and the King got their entire gimmick from, was Bobby and Gorilla Monsoon. One of them was serious, the other one wasn't. I mean, it's a perfect combination, and that's what they're missing now. No one is really... I don't know. Maybe it's just the personalities. Maybe it's the fact that they're too scripted. I don't know what it is now. But Bobby the Brain is the best talker of all time. If you ask anybody in the wrestling business, Bobby the Brain's the best talker. The best talker. Well, what's that talk show they had?
Primetime.
Fucking hilarious. Brilliant, hilarious, on-the-spot comedy. No script, no nothing. They just turned on the damn cameras and started recording those two. And that
and
was
his,
it.
His talking ability, like, if you listen back now, some of the WrestleManias and stuff, it's still relevant.
Absolutely.
I still laugh.
Absolutely, yeah, it's still relevant. Absolutely. I mean, he was a man above men as far as the concept of whatever. He could have been one of the greatest sketch comedy guys in the history of the world. And actually, he kind of was, to be honest with you, because everything he did was off script. None of it was scripted.
No, he's very, very similar to Paul Heyman in that sense. And Mop, you voted for a manager as well. You voted for Heyman.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue either. I mean, for Heyman's ability to talk, when he pretty much sold the entire feud between Lesnar and Roman for WrestleMania and the year before for Undertaker. Yep. It's hard to argue that.
It is. I think a lot of people just took it as wrestlers. And I think if I did expand it and actually stated wrestlers slash manager, I think we would have had a massive vote count for both Paul Heyman and Bobby the Brain. But Wayne, you voted for the winner, The Rock. What was it about The Rock's talking ability for you?
I'm not a massive Rock fan. I'm not really that sort of everyone else wet the self when he comes out. I'm sort of... there's other legends I'd prefer to see, but when I was young, there's no denying that he was, when you thought of Rock in the ring, that weren't him fighting, that was always him with his fucking paisley shirt on, weren't it, and black trousers on the microphone. That is, you know, when I thought Rock, I thought him talking, so he had to take that subject for me.
I have to agree with Wayne, as far as the winners are concerned, that point, because we were... It was me and three, my brother, and two of our buddies. One night we stole a bottle of, I think it was like cinnamon schnapps or something like that.
I don't know.
We were like 15 years old or something like that. Probably 14 actually. We were sitting there and we decided to drink based on our favorite wrestlers. So every time Shawn Michaels did a super kick, one guy had a drink. Every time Stone Cold said so, the other person had a drink. Every time the Triple H said he was the game, I had a drink. And then my brother was a huge Rock fan. But so the goal was every time the Rock made us laugh, he had a drink. The Rock was on commentary that night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, my brother had to guzzle down pretty much half the bottle of that nasty, disgusting, cinnamon-flavored liqueur.
So your brother got drunk and y'all were still sober?
Yep, pretty much. Because, by the end of the night, he was pretty fucked up. Because, it's The Rock. I mean, he has that charisma. That's why he sells a movie by himself for $54 million the opening weekend that nobody actually wanted to see. I mean, you can't. He's The Rock. I don't know. I don't know how else to explain him. He's the highest paid guy in Hollywood right now.
He is. And we'll get onto that list in a minute. But that was the one wrestler who my missus knew. The Rock.
That makes sense. That completely makes sense.
Yeah. Heavyset, your vote was quite interesting. Why did you pick your vote?
Remind me, because I can't remember. I think I know who I picked, but I'm not sure.
No, I've just thrown it away. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were like throwing it to me like that. I'm like, is he trying to test me? Like, ha ha. I know you forgot who you voted for, so I won't make you suffer.
I think you went Owen Hart.
What?
As Tucker?
Hold on. I'm all...
No, you went Shawn Michaels. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I picked
him. I'm asking now, who would you pick for talking ability?
Talking ability. I kind of want to pick Owen. Maybe that's why I picked Owen.
He was fucking terrible, Matt. Owen was garbage on the mic.
No, Owens.
You mean Kevin Owens?
I did pick HBK. Son of a bitch, I don't know.
You did pick HBK.
Yep, got him up here. I don't know what I was thinking. Because I don't know, maybe because like he always had a comfort level of, I don't think there was a time when he talked where I was just like, oh my god, he has stage fright or whatever. There was always this charisma with him, which is why I voted for him. The other thing, so that had to be what was going through my mind. I think best underrated, who hasn't been mentioned, if we're going to go outside of wrestlers. One person who is, if we're going to go outside of wrestlers, like with Heenan and Heyman, I'm kind of leaning towards Lawler.
Okay.
Because some of the things he said was just, for when he did in the early 90s, oh my God. And his feud with Kaufman, some of the stuff back and forth between them, it's like such on a different stage of wrestling.
Yeah, the stuff, dude, he did in Memphis, just to stay on top as long as he did, you had to be good.
Maybe it's because I'm breathing in this West Memphis air. I'm picking Jerry Lawler, but that could be very well it.
I mean, I definitely remember him. None of us have seen the documentary they're just doing about him, but I remember hearing about him with Kaufman, or him, people coming to the arena to throw shit at him. at Jerry the King Lawler. Before, you know, this is before he went to Kaufman. He was a bad guy. I remember hearing people literally bringing, they had to search people at the door back in the early 80s or late 80s because they were worried he was going to throw like rolls of quarters at Jerry the King Lawler. People wanted to go and see him get killed.
It depends on where they're at. In Memphis, yeah. If I'm correct, he was literally the king. He was the biggest babyface of babyface. Probably outside of that region, he was probably looked elsewise.
Okay.
Yeah, the more I sit here and think about it, I probably should have picked Jake the Snake Roberts. That motherfucker scared the living shit out of me as a kid.
I agree.
Thank you, Stone Cold Podcast.
It's another one I don't agree with. I just don't understand. It's not my cup.
You don't understand Jake's promos?
No, they never.
Can I give a quick shout out to Great Khali and Andre the Giant?
Hogan.
This is Hogan. Andre's promo.
Hulk Hogan.
Andre's promo in WrestleMania 6. Eliminate them. That's all he said.
That's all he had to say, mate.
Best promo ever.
Well, Khali would probably win if you're asking the Indians, I suppose. Yeah. And there is a billion of those.
There should be a contest
to see like how much you actually understand out of the entire promo. Like who's the most like comprehensible?
Wait. What we actually understand of what he's saying, or the words that we're going to put in his mouth that he's saying.
You Fandango, I know you.
That's actually pretty good.
Right, before we go into chaos, right. So that's it. Those are the 9 subjects. So basically what we're saying is the Ultimate Wrestler is a mix between Jeff Hardy, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The Rock, Rick Rude, Ultimate Warrior, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dolph Ziggler, and Bret Hart. But we're not going to stop there because I've compiled a list using a point system that I invented because I'm cool. So if you won a round, you get 5 points. And if you come second, you get 2. And one, you get, if you come third, you get 1 point. So there is a top 10 of all time list, which if I rubble my papers, I shall find. So with 6 points in 10th place, in joint ninth, I should say, was Bret the Hitman Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin. In 8th on the all time list, Mick Foley with 7 points.
Wow.
In joint fifth, there's 3 of them, Triple H, Ultimate Warrior, and CM Punk. In fourth place with 9 points, Ric Flair. 11 points for The Undertaker in third place. 12 points for The Rock in number 2 spot, and the resounding winner.
When it comes crashing down.
No.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels with 20 points. What do we think is Shawn Michaels winning that, Vamp?
I mean, it's Shawn.
All-round wrestler?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why every time you look at all this stuff, style, charisma, you could put Shawn there. Physique, you could put Shawn there. Music, you could not put Shawn there. In-ring technical ability, Shawn is there. Selling, Shawn's there. Talking ability, 50-50 on Shawn being there. Backstage pull, are you kidding me? He's the only one that... He even talked about cursing out Vince McMahon on a daily basis. Spot of King, Shawn. King of the Spot, Shawn. In-ring storytelling, Shawn. Yes, absolutely. Shawn. It's it, man. Shawn is it. I'm surprised Cena didn't make more of this.
I think that with time he would.
Yeah, I thought probably right. I mean, because Cena, he sells. He's got in-ring ability. I think it's underrated. His music is his own music, just like Shawn's was. His physique is fantastic. He has a ton of style and charisma. His talking ability is, you know, probably about third or fourth on the roster. Backstage pull is huge because he makes the company a ton of money. King of the Spot, not bad. But he does tell a good in-ring story. John Cena could be in there.
But it's because he's forced upon you. Why no one wants to choose him?
Yeah, I think you're right, Wayne.
When he retires, he
is still active. I mean, of the 10, he is the only real active sort of wrestler. Yeah.
Anyone that's saying John Cena is going to retire, you guys are crazy. He's a company man. He will never retire. He may retire from the ring. But he will be an ambassador for the rest of his life to that company.
Keep in mind, too, Cena has been limited by the smarks. Like, if you put Hogan in that, in the era of today, with it wrestling, like, there's no way he was lasting the same amount of time that he did.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that was something I was going to bring up, is the guys from back in the day that we glorify now, what would they be in today's internet fucking mass reaction area?
So, Mop, are you happy with Shawn Michaels winning this?
Am I happy with it? No, because I don't really like Michaels, but, I mean, it's hard to argue how good he is.
Yeah. Well, who would you put as your ultimate wrestler, all-round sort of guy?
Oh, Jesus Christ. it's hard to argue with The Rock or Austin either. You know what I mean? Anybody that can, that's really held a company like that, it's hard to argue with.
Yeah. Heavy Set, do you agree with that or?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that has the most on, has the most in every category. That's kind of like how the point system went, but it's kind of like what Evil Van was going of saying, you know, he's a guy that has it. And how a lot of us are voting, we weren't voting for right now. We were voting of all time. And a lot of some of those guys that haven't been doing it for a long time, but they still did it for ever. I mean, those get to settle in your mind. You get to savor the flavor. And yeah, it takes total sense. He's one of my favorite of all time. So yeah.
You know, that actually, I kind of wonder what if we just did today's current, what we'd come up with? Because I think that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do that later down the road. But talking of the best of all the times, Mountie, what do you reckon to the result?
You know, I think I'm with a lot of people in the panel. I was never a fan of the guy, but I respect his work. There are matches that I enjoy involving guys that I was a fan of, and he was part of it. It's hard to argue it, but my heart always goes with Hogan and Savage.
Yeah, that's really surprising that Hogan's not on that list. I don't know how he does not wind up there somewhere.
He just doesn't. He doesn't score any points across the board in... I think he... let me see how many points he actually did get. Hulk Hogan... 5 points. So he just missed the top 10, to be fair. So, yeah. It's we're talking technical ability, storytelling, things like that.
It's because a lot of us didn't grow up watching Hogan.
If you had a category of drawing power, I think you would have made the top 10.
Oh, he'd get the full points, wouldn't he? But you know,
well, and you also got to figure that Hogan was a good storyteller. He never was all that great in the ring. And I mean, honestly, most of the people that responded are a fan of the in-ring product more than they are the entertainment end of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to take that a little bit into account, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is very broad. I've just picked 9 random topics. So there's a whole multitude of more topics we can get, but we're just trying to find a gist of it. So, Wayne, what did you reckon? Do you agree with the end result or not?
Definitely. And I'll finish exactly how I started by saying... Michaels was always someone that I liked, but it weren't until I'd done the poll that I realised how much I actually liked him. It weren't until you actually saw it and it was like, it's Michaels again. I was like, I didn't actually, you know, you don't put them all together as one and think, oh, he's my favourite wrestler. But when you actually broke down the individual aspects, he was always there. I didn't realise. Until you've done it in this sort of scenario.
Exactly. I think it's the fact that he just scores points on almost every category, whereas someone like Hogan will get, he'll get a big backstage pull and a draw, but, you know, he won't score highly on storytelling, he won't score highly on in-ring technical ability and things like that.
Whereas, he's the perfect
whereas Michaels
all-rounder,
does span the whole bracket. Sorry?
He's the perfect all-rounder, isn't he?
That's it. And that's what we're trying to find, that sort of ultimate all-rounder. And looks like we found him, Shawn Michaels. Agree with it or disagree with it. But that's it. That's the end of it. Any more final thoughts, guys, on the Ultimate Wrestler? And let's do your GOAT then. Who's your GOAT, Heavy Set? Who's your GOAT?
It's kind of what I've said before. It's mix between Brett and Shawn. I will not put one in front of the other.
Fair enough. Wayne, who's your GOAT?
GOAT?
Greatest of all time.
Oh. I thought you meant someone that annoys me that like gets on my goat. But...
Jesus Christ.
In that case, I'll change my answer to Wayne is a banger. Or Wayne is whatever the fuck he is today.
My greatest of all time. Oh God, I hate being put on the spot of this. The one where I think wrestling, and it's weird because I don't talk about him that much, and I've actually mentioned him in like quite a criticism. When the one time I did talk about him on this show, but the one where I think wrestling and made me tune in as a kid, and here's the one you go to on your computer game, and the one that I always used to go to first on the computer game was Undertaker, so he's probably my greatest.
Fair enough. Mop, who's your greatest of all time?
I mean, it's hard to pick one, so I'll just say Warrior and Hogan.
Yeah, oh, bloody hell. Fair enough. 80s kid. Mountie, who's your greatest?
I'm old.
Dream of the grubber rises, yeah.
And final thoughts. New Jack jumped from the top of a fucking building.
Fair enough. And Devil Vamp, who's your greatest all time?
Triple H. It's got to be Triple H. I mean, I know a typical answer for me, but it's got to be Triple H to me. I mean, he's the best of all. I don't know. He went from being... blue blood aristocrat to being the guy who fucks Stephanie McMahon on a daily basis. You can't argue with that. He's the game.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Devil Vamp. Triple H for me, but going back to my childhood would be Ultimate Warrior. So there you go. So none of us picked Shawn Michaels apart from
Heavy. Apart from Heavy and Brett.
But overall, our ultimate wrestler has been Shawn Michaels. So thanks for listening, guys. Let's do the final plugs and all that nonsense. So, Mop Jockey, where you at? And final plugs and stuff.
At the Mop Jockey, and I got shit to plug.
Apart from that, but Heavy Set, where you at?
I am in West Memphis, Arkansas. Please get me out of this hellhole. At Heavy Set on Twitter and the Mop, you have anything goes, and at least fix the plug. As soon as we get the third stooge to actually have a life instead of
being... I was going to say, is that still a thing?
Instead of being Joe Bennett the third, because he's already our junior. But, yeah.
Cool. Wayne, where you at?
On a piss-smelling bus and on Twitter on at Wayne's a Baker.
You liar.
Devil Vamp, where you at?
DSJNP.com, guys.
There you go.
Never heard of it.
And the Mountie.
From the top of a fucking building.
Boom.
Oldschoolmovies.net, trendingtopicsnetwork.com.
Well, there you go. And I am at MC Vigilante on the Twitter, and you can find me on DSJMP and the Trending Topics Networks on a multitude of shows. Thanks for listening, guys. Much appreciated to everyone that partook, especially the guys on the panel tonight. Massive, massive thank you to everyone, each and every one of you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Get a $2.
Shut up and let your song play.
Cheers, boys.